The Time Traveler's Guide to Not Getting Caught. Chapter 13, That Time I Made Love to My Babysitter in the Wild West. It's true, I made love to my babysitter in the Wild West. And it was incredible. Now, I could bore you all with the whole story of how we got our clothes and wound up in Davy Crockett's basement where we consummated our relationship, giving my babysitter 1.5 orgasms. Or I could just skip to the end where I wound up in a duel like in Back to the Future 3. Oh, you want to hear the entire story? Well, I'm sure other people don't want to hear it, but since you spoke up, I suppose I should start at the beginning. So the babysitter and I are in 1600 London, and I suggest to her, how about we go back to the future to 2010, which is technically the present for you, but the past for me, and we can peruse the costume shop until we find an era we both want to go to. And she is so down to do that, like, so down. So we go back to 2010, and she's a little flustered and asks if we can get dinner before we go back in time again. And I say, of course. I'm a very wealthy man because I did the whole Biff Tannen thing. Then she asks me what sort of Biff Tannen thing I did, and I say I'll tell her over dinner. So we head over to a nice sushi place, because I have lots of money and can afford anything, and I tell her to order whatever she wants. So we get a bunch of sushi, and then she asks me to tell her all about my travels through time. So I tell her my journeys from the very beginning, although I may have left out certain parts about the stories, like Ben Franklin's daughter, and Socrates' soft lips, and impregnating a cavewoman. I mean, I basically just told her which time periods I went to and left out all the good details because I didn't want her judging me so early in our relationship. But if you must be so nosy, I did in fact plan on telling her everything at some point in the future. It was just so early in the relationship when you don't share certain things. You know, like bathroom habits or your sexual past. Like my sleeping with a cavewoman. So then she tells me all about her life, and I realize this is the first time I've ever really gotten to know her. I mean, I had always seen her as this goddess babysitter, but I had never actually seen her as a human being. But now, I knew all about how she was feeling stuck at Forever 21 and hadn't felt happy since college ended. And I could relate because I had gone through all the same things, minus working at Forever 21, and that now she was worried about the future and making money. So I tell her, well, look, I have a bunch of money saved up from the whole time traveling thing. I could just give you a few million dollars, and then you can quit your Forever 21 job and have the freedom to do whatever you want. And she looks at me, just mesmerized, and asks me if I'd really do that for her. And I say, of course, because it really isn't that big of a deal. I mean, I could just continually gamble on games and make as much money as I want. And I tell her since she was such a great babysitter over all these years, that it was the least I could do. And that's when we had our first kiss. Now I know what you're thinking. And please, please, give my babysitter the benefit of the doubt. She wasn't kissing me as some sort of quid pro quo for the money. She was just overwhelmed by the offer I was making. And there's a difference, you know? She was enamored by my character, not the money. I don't even know why I feel the need to defend her to you, though. She's amazing, and you should just get over it. Anyway, back to the kiss. It was everything I had dreamed about once a day since she was my babysitter, and sometimes twice a day. She was twice as good a kisser as Socrates. Well, maybe 1.5 times. And the kiss felt like it stopped everything all around us. Sure, I had been traveling through time, but it was the first moment I had ever felt time stop. I never wanted the moment to end, but one thing I've learned over my travels is that time always moves forward. Well, I guess sometimes it goes backwards before it moves forwards, but you know what I mean. She moved away, ending the kiss and restarting time, but I wasn't ready yet to let the seconds resume. So I pull her back in and I kiss her again, freezing another moment that even time itself couldn't resist. And then, when the moment was over, my first thought was, did she enjoy the kiss as much as I did? And my second thought was, thank God we're sitting down because I have a huge boner. So I drove her back to my place, my Ford Focus, And I told her this was just a rental and that I actually had a Lamborghini, but it had a stupid CD player. And that's when she asked me what 2023 is like, and I tell her all about global warming and mass shootings and Russia, and she says, "Oh, so it's pretty much the same as now?" And I say, "Yeah, pretty much." So then she lingers in my Ford Focus for a moment. And that's when I kiss her and I reach for her right boob, unsure if she'll actually let me touch it or not. And she totally lets me touch it, and I'm thinking, nice, this is nice. So I drive back to the hotel and I watch Breaking Bad because that's what was on TV, and I had to watch whatever they had broadcast because it was stupid 2010 when hotels didn't even have Netflix. But I gotta say, I was actually enjoying the show. I had never heard it before, have you? It's with that guy from Malcolm in the Middle, but he's bald and he's selling meth. I knew I would have to binge it when I got back to 2023. So then the next morning, I get rid of the Ford Focus because the jig was up and I could now go back to driving my Lambo. So I head back to my babysitter's house and I pick her up and she's dressed all cute and I'm thinking, nice. This is nice. But then I realized we had to put on stupid costumes for the time period that we were going to go to, so she'd have to change her clothes. But then I was thinking, what time period had the sexiest clothes so that I could see her in something really hot? But I couldn't really put a lot of thought into it because she kept asking me personal questions in the car, like what my favorite color is and what my favorite movies are. So then we get to the costume shop and she's all excited, like she's a kid in a candy store or a time traveler in a costume shop. And that's when she notices an Annie Oakley costume and she looks at me and she says she wants to go to the Wild West. So I say, whatever you want. So I buy some Old West costumes, even though we could have just borrowed them. I'm just saying. And then we go into the backseat of my car so that we wouldn't be seen as we time travel. But as we're alone in the backseat, I'm wondering if she wants to do any sexy things. So I'm just sitting there, licking my lips and smiling and complimenting her. But she keeps looking at my watch like she's ready to go back in time. So I was like, do you just want to go back in time right now? Or do you want to just hang out? And she says, do you want to go back in time? And I'm like, I wanna if you wanna. And she's like, all right, let's go back in time. And I say, yeah, let's go back in time. Unless you wanna hang out for a minute? And she asks, do you wanna hang out for a minute? And then I ask, do you wanna hang out for a minute? And then we just sit there awkwardly for a minute before I say, yeah, let's just go back in time. So I put in 1810 and the Tudes for Tennessee, and the next thing you know, we were in the Old West. Now, I want to pause this story for a moment to apologize about all of the poop stories you've had to endure so far. And I promise, there are no more poop references for the rest of this book. I mean, I'm not going to lie, there are a few poop-related incidents in the Old West, but I'm going to refrain from talking about them. Okay, good. I'm glad I could get that off my chest. Now, back to the story. My first thought as we entered the Old West was, damn, it's really sunny here. And my second thought was, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna chafe. So my babysitter and I look out at the town, and it's very similar to everything you've ever seen on TV and the movies. I mean, there was a big dirt path leading through town, and all around were these little shops. I felt like I was on the Universal Lottery, you know, back in the Wild West or something. So I look over at the babysitter and she's got this huge smile on her face like, oh my God, this is everything I've ever wanted in my life. And I give her a smile back like, oh my God, this is everything I ever wanted in my life. And then, after several seconds of us just smiling at each other, we decide to head into the nearby saloon because we were in the Wild West and what is there to do in the Wild West other than to go to a saloon? So I swing the doors open and we both enter and immediately everyone stops what they're doing and they look at us like we're a bunch of weirdos or something. Which isn't how you're supposed to treat strangers, you know? Like, don't just glare at me like you're seconds from painting my face. You know, a smile couldn't hurt. And that's when an old guy at the bar does smile at me and I could see all of his rotting teeth and I thought, okay, maybe go back to not smiling at me. So I head over to the bartender and I look at him and he says, what'll it be? And I say, Bacardi 151, good sir. And he looks at me like he doesn't understand what I'm saying. And then I say, your strongest, manliest drink for me and your sweetest drink for my gal pal over here. Now, the moment after I said gal pal, I turned to the babysitter and I apologized profusely for calling her my gal pal. But she says it was cute and she shoots me a smile. But now I'm wondering, does she really think it's cute? Or is she just lying to me? And am I never gonna be able to trust the love of my life if she is? And then the bartender brings me two identical drinks and says they're both whiskeys and that it'll cost 2 cents. And so I ask him if there's anything I can trade for the drink since I didn't have 2 cents on me. At least not 2 cents from this era. And that's when he pulls a gun on me and tells me to either pay up or leave the bar. And that's when I back up and I say, we're gonna leave the bar. So we both leave. Look, it wasn't my finest moment in front of the babysitter, but I figured it would have been a whole lot worse to get shot on our second date than to just back out of a saloon. And that's when she looks at me and asks me if I ever bring back money for the era that I was visiting. And I say, no, I just kind of wing everything. And she says, well, with all the money you've acquired now, you could buy vintage coins and money from different eras. My first thought was, well, that's actually a really smart idea. My second thought was, she thinks she's smarter than me, doesn't she? So I tell her, okay, well, next time we'll do that, but right now we're here, so let's just try to make the best of the situation. And she says, yeah, let's do that. And then I get the urge to kiss her. But we had only kissed those 2 times, so I didn't know if I was allowed to just go right in or if I had to wait for some super romantic moment. So I just decide not to do anything. So we roam around this Wild West Tennessee town when suddenly we see an argument break out between a couple of cowboys and I'm thinking, awesome, we're gonna see some Old West action go down. But then I think, maybe the babysitter is frightened by what's happening. So I check on her, but instead of being scared, she seems super interested in the quarrel. And my first thought was, finally, a girl that can handle a little bit of violence. And my second thought was, is she some sort of sociopath? I turn my attention back to the argument, and apparently some guy was sleeping with another guy's wife, and now the husband wanted to kill the guy. So I'm thinking, well, does he kill him now or does he wait until later? Or what exactly happens in this situation in the Old West? And then the husband takes out a glove and slaps the other guy across the face to initiate a duel. And now I'm wondering, does that mean in the Old West you always have to carry around a specific dueling glove at all times to duel people? Or if that was just a normal glove that he happened to be carrying on him at that very moment? Anyway, the husband slaps him across the face to start the duel, and I start wondering, why would that be the way to start a duel? But then I think, well, that's actually a pretty good way to get someone really angry at you so that they'll want to kill you. Like, I'm gonna slap you across the face with a glove to get you to the point of wanting to duel me. So the husband slaps the dude with the glove and for some reason, the guy agrees to the duel. And now I'm thinking, what happens if the guy's like, no, I don't want a duel. What you gonna do about it? Does that happen a lot? What would the repercussions be for turning down a duel? I mean, I'm sure he'd be called a coward or yellow, but then what would happen? His reputation would be ruined and then he can't get laid anymore? Couldn't he just go to one of the many towns all over the Wild West and start out with a new identity, and nobody would even know he turned down a duel? I mean, it's not like they had social media back then. And then, I wondered what I would do if someone challenged me to a duel. Maybe I would be too afraid to be called a coward and just say yes because I'd be too embarrassed to say no. But I mean, is that really the best reason to get into a duel? I grew up being told to say no to drugs, and I wonder if in the Old West classrooms, they teach students to say no to duels. So anyway, the babysitter nudges for us to move closer to the action because she wants to hear all the details. So we start to shuffle our feet forward little by little, trying to hear where and when the duel is going to take place. And it turns out it's going to happen in 2 days at high noon. And I think, well, that's good that they at least have some time to practice for the duel. But then I wonder if there's any strategy to it. Like, is there a guy somewhere who teaches duel classes for some exorbitant fee? Or do you even need classes? I mean, isn't it just whoever grabs their gun the fastest? Maybe there's some strategy to psyching out your opponent. I know, I'm thinking about this a lot. Anyway, the babysitter and I both agree we want to see the duel in 2 days. So that meant we had a couple days to burn in the Old West. But because we didn't have any money, we were going to have to earn it. So I tell my babysitter I have an idea and to give me a minute. So I walk into the saloon and I shout out, anyone looking for a farmhand? Now, I didn't know what a farmhand was, or if there even were farms in this hellhole that is the Wild West. But this cowboy at the nearby table looks me up and down, and at first I'm thinking, okay, he wants to see if I'm fit to be a good farmhand. But then he kind of leers at me, and I get worried it might mean something more. But then he says, got some work you could do for me. So I say, great, let's do it. So the guy stands and he puts his hand out and says, David Crockett. And then I tell him my name because that's what you're supposed to do when someone introduces themselves to you. And he tells me I have a weird name. And I tell him, well, I haven't met too many Davies. And then he laughs and says he likes the cut of my jib. And then he starts saying a bunch of other stuff. But to be honest, I couldn't stop wondering what cut of one's jib meant. I mean, I understood the saying for the most part, but I didn't really know what jib was or why someone would like the cut of it. Like, it sounded like I was a piece of meat that was being offered up. And then he finishes talking, but I didn't hear a single word he said until he says, so are you in? And through my time traveling journeys, I've learned that when someone in the past asks me if I'm down to do something, I should always say I am. So I did. And then he says, great, is your gun loaded? And then I start to second guess whether or not I should always say I'm down to do something when someone asks. But I think quick and I say, oh, it's loaded, but I left them in my other chaps. And he says, well, we can't do this job if you don't got a gun. And it was at this point that I felt the urge to correct his grammar. Not because I'm some sort of grammar Nazi or anything like that, but this is a historical figure that people look up to. And I figure he should at least be speaking properly so that the kids who look up to him will want to speak properly as well. But I decide not to do it because he had a loaded gun and I really didn't want to get shot. So he says, well, let's get you a gun then. But I tell him, well, I'm here with my woman. Now, I know that might sound misogynistic, but I was trying to fit in with the time and I figured that was the most appropriate thing to call her. So I take him outside to meet the babysitter and I tell her it's Davy Crockett and she tells him her name because that's what the appropriate thing to do in this situation is. And that's when I realize that this is the perfect moment to get Davy Crockett to tell me again the job I'm supposed to do because he could explain it to the babysitter. So I say, Davy, why don't you explain to her what you just told me? And I gotta say, I was feeling pretty proud of myself in that moment for thinking of such a good plan to hear what I had missed before. But then I realized that I was so excited about being smart that again, I missed out on the explanation of what I had to do. But then Davy says we need to head out now if we want to get the job done. And so we walk over to his horse and he asks me where mine is. And I say I left it at home with my other chaps. And he looks at me and he tells me to meet him at his house after I get my horse and gun. And I say, all right, sounds good. So Davy Crockett rides off and I take this time to ask the babysitter what he said. And she tells me my job is to escort him while he makes the delivery. And I think, well, that isn't so bad. But now we need to get a horse and gun or else he isn't going to hire me. So the problem was, how am I going to obtain a gun and horse? Now, my first inclination was to steal both of them. But then I figured there had to be a better alternative. But after we discussed the issue at hand for several minutes, the babysitter and I both realized that stealing was in fact the best option. But the question now became, how does one steal a horse and a gun in the Old West? I figured if I stole the gun first, it would be a lot easier to steal a horse. But neither one of us knew how to snatch a gun. But then I see a nearby brothel and I get a brilliant idea. I would sneak into one of the rooms while a cowboy was getting it on with an old-timey prostitute, and I would steal his gun and then I would go outside and steal his horse. And when I say steal this time, I actually mean steal because I had no plan on returning either of them afterward. And no, I didn't feel bad about it at all because this was hundreds of years ago and like, really, who gives a shit if I steal some guy's gun and horse? Certainly not me. So I tell the babysitter the plan and she's down for it, but she thinks it's a good idea if she tries to steal a horse and gun as well in case I fail. And my first thought was, well, I don't want to be the guy who says, no, you can't go and try to steal a cowboy's gun and horse. But at the same time, I knew I'd feel emasculated if I failed in my thievery, but she succeeded. So I knew that I had to accomplish my task at any cost. And my second thought was, well, why doesn't she have any faith that I could steal a gun and horse? So I said, sure, you can go into one of the rooms and try to steal a gun and I'll go into another. And if we both succeed, then great. We'll have two guns and two horses. And then we decide to meet back in the nearby alley in 30 minutes. So we both head into the brothel and we spot the stairs. And I let the babysitter go first because I am a gentleman. And also because I could watch her ass as she goes up the stairs. But then, when I'm about to head up, the madam spots me and asks me if I'd like to see the girls. So of course I say yes, because I didn't want to be rude. So she calls all the ladies out and now I'm looking at a dozen old-timey prostitutes and I have to keep reminding myself that I am in love with the babysitter and the plan is to steal a gun, not to get syphilis from a prostitute. So I choose the nearest prostitute just so I can go up to one of the rooms, and the lady of the night takes me up to one of the sex rooms and tells me she'll be right back, she just needs to freshen up a little, and I tell her, yeah, I think I'll freshen up as well. So we both leave to freshen up, but instead of my going to the powder room, I creep over to the next door and I crack it open to see if there's a gun to be stolen, but the room is empty. So I go to the next door and I crack it open, and I see this John Wayne looking cowboy on top of this woman, and I think, oh, this is great. Now, I wasn't thinking it was great as in, oh, the sex was great to watch, but rather, oh, this is great, I can steal his gun. So I go into the room and nobody can see me because I'm crawling, and that's when I spot his pants slung over a chair with his gun right there. So I grab his gun, but then I spot his wallet. So I take it, of course, because I'm thinking, well, I'm already doing this whole thing, might as well get some money out of it while I'm at it. So after I rob the guy, I hightail out of the brothel and I spot a bunch of horses tied up to a post and I think, well, this is really easy to steal. Someone should really make some sort of horse lock or a club for horses. So I go over and I simply untie one of the horses and lead him over to our meeting spot. And now I'm standing with some guy's stolen gun and a stolen horse and a stolen wallet, and I'm hoping that the horse belongs to the John Wayne guy so that I only have one person in this time period that wants to paint my face. And then I start to get a little antsy as I wait for the babysitter to arrive, and now I'm thinking, what if she never returns? Do I just leave her? I mean, how much do I really love her? But then I decide that I love her a lot and I could never abandon her. But none of it matters because luckily she shows up with a gun and horse, and my first thought was, nice, I'm glad I don't have to decide whether or not I would have to risk my life to save her. And my second thought was, man, she stole a bigger horse than me. So I congratulate her on the horse she was able to steal, but I also tell her getting such a big horse meant we would have to feed it more. But whatever. So now that we had our horses and guns, it was time to find out how to get to Davy Crockett's house. My first instinct was to put the address into my phone, but again, stupid Wild West. I mean, they didn't even have MapQuest back then, so how was I even supposed to find this place? So the babysitter suggests we ask for directions, but I promptly veto her suggestion because I told her we had stolen horses, so it would be a bad idea if we did that. But secretly, I didn't want to have to ask another man for directions. And also, I didn't want to give her the satisfaction of having the correct solution after she stole a bigger horse than me. But she continued to press me on it, so I said, okay, fine. So we ride our horses through town, and I start shouting, Davy Crockett? Anyone know Davy Crockett? And then the babysitter looks at me like I'm crazy, but I reassure her that this had worked a number of times, and I had no doubt it would work again. So again, I say, Davy Crockett? Anyone know Davy Crockett? And then some gross-looking fellow looks over at us and says, that bastard Davy owes me 50 cents. And I quickly say, well, he owes me 55 cents, and I'm gonna go kill him and collect my money. Do you know where he might live? And the guy tells me how to get to Davy Crockett's house, and I say, nice, well, we're off to kill him now. Thanks so much. And the guy just lets out a huff and walks away, and I'm thinking, really? I just say I'm gonna go kill the guy you claim to hate because he owes you money, and all you give me in return is a huff? Like, you couldn't even give me a thanks or anything like that? This was definitely the rudest time period I had been so far. And mind you, this is coming from a guy who had several dicks flashed at him during the Renaissance. So the babysitter and I continue along, and we wind up on the outskirts of town, and that's when I realize that the sun was setting, and she and I were going on a romantic horseback ride into the sunset. I gotta tell you, I wanted to put my arm around her, but it would have been really difficult as we were both on separate horses, so instead, I tell her that I would put my arm around her if we weren't on horses, and she tells me how sweet that would be, and I thought, well, at least I get the brownie points for telling her that I wanted to do it. And then I wondered if I could employ this tactic in the future. Like, instead of actually doing things, I could just tell her that I wanted to do them and then get credit without having to put in any of the work. Anyway, we reach the house, and I assume it's Davy Crockett's because that's where the stranger told me it was, and I had no reason to doubt him. Although, to be fair, I also had no reason to trust him either. So I look at the babysitter and I say, I guess I'll go knock. And she's like, yeah, go knock. So I walk up to the door and knock, and Davy opens the door and he asks me what took so long, and I say I had to go back and get my other chaps with the gun and horse. And he looks at both of us and he says he usually doesn't do jobs with women, but he'll make an exception this time. And then he looks all around and he sees how dark it is, so he says, "Well, why don't we wait until tomorrow since it's pretty late?" And I say, "Well, we came all the way out here. Is it okay if we spend the night?" And he looks at us like I had just asked the most inconvenient thing in the world. But after several moments of just staring at us blankly, he says he has a basement and I say, "Great, we'll take it." So Davey lets us in and shows us around his old-timey house and I'm thinking, God, these historical figures really lived in dumps. I mean, minus Al Capone. And I look over at the babysitter and I can tell she's thinking the same thing. But both of us were polite and said how much we love the place. So he shows us to the basement and tells us we'll leave at dawn. And I ask if we can leave a little later because dawn is really early. And he just looks at me like that isn't something I should ever say to someone. And I promptly say, "Dawn's good." So the babysitter and I lie down on a little cot and we eye each other, just lying there all quiet like we want to do some sexy stuff. But I felt like I needed a little more proof that she wouldn't reject me before I tried. So I waited for her to lean in or put her hand on my lap or something, but she didn't do either. All she did was say, "Isn't it cold in here?" And I'm thinking, Jesus, we have a blanket. Why don't you just get under it instead of complaining about how cold it is? But I didn't want to be rude, so I didn't say anything. Then she gives me the look. You know the look. It's the look that says, "We just traveled back to the Old West and I want you to kiss me." So I lean in and I kiss her like there's no tomorrow. And then I figure, well, this seems like a good time to try to grab the other breast because I doubt she'd just let me grab one and not the other. So I go for the left breast this time and I'm pleasantly surprised by it. And I couldn't stop thinking, oh my God, I'm touching the babysitter's left breast. Then I take my pants off and I show her my penis like I'm Leonardo da Vinci. And she looks at my Vitruvian man and then gives me a smile like she's Mona Lisa. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, it's on. So we rip each other's clothes off and I'm just so happy, like seriously, just as happy as a human being can be. The best analogy I can think of is it's like you have a crush on your babysitter for a long time and then you find a time traveling device, go back in time to the Old West with her and then make love in Davy Crockett's basement. Yeah. I mean, I guess that technically isn't a metaphor because it's literally what happened, but that's how it felt. So while we're having sex, I get on top because I'm a gentleman. And I want to make sure she has a good time. And let me tell you, I give her a pretty good time, I tell ya. Like I said at the beginning of the chapter, I gave her a pretty good time and a half. Now, at first I thought I couldn't give her that half a good time, but then I called upon my inner Socrates and delivered that half an orgasm. And you know what? Just because it was half of one doesn't mean it was any less special than that first one. I mean, if anything, that little half of an orgasm might have been more potent than the first one. I mean, sure, I could have given her a complete second orgasm, but I asked her afterward if she even wanted another complete orgasm, and she told me no. And since she's a very honest person, I believed her 100%. Now I know what you're all wondering, and the answer is yes. I had an orgasm as well. And you know what? I didn't need a half orgasm after that. I don't even know what a half orgasm for me would even feel like, so the one was fine enough for me. After we made sweet love, we laid together in the cot and I couldn't help but wonder, man, does life get any better than this? I'm in Davy Crockett's basement and I just made love to the love of my life. This must be what happy feels like. And then I fell asleep. The next morning, I awoke with my stolen gun pointed at my face and I quickly realized the John Wayne guy was standing above me, somehow having found me and his gun. And potentially his horse. I mean, I'm still not sure if it was his horse that I stole. So then he tells me to stand, but I have a case of morning wood. So I couldn't because it would be too embarrassing. So I defiantly said, no, I'm good where I am. And then the guy takes out a dueling glove, and that's when I knew what was coming. So then he tries to smack me with it, but I duck and he misses. And now I'm wondering, does that mean there isn't going to be a duel? Like, do you only get one chance at starting a duel? Like, if he missed the slap, does that mean we're all, like, cool? But then the guy tries to slap me with his glove again, and now I'm dodging like a Muhammad Ali until he accidentally hits the babysitter with the glove. And my first thought was, oh my God, I hope she's okay. And my second thought was, well, does this mean that he has to duel her now? Finally, he puts his glove away and says, I challenge you to a duel. And then it was the moment of truth. Do I accept the duel, or do I just say no? I said yes. Apparently, I was too embarrassed to say no. But secretly I'm thinking, there's no way we're gonna get in a duel because we're just gonna time travel out of here. So then I figure, well, this guy already wants to kill me. Might as well be as manly as I can. So I spit on his shoe and I say, where and when? And he says, center of town, now. And I laugh and I say, well, I do my killing after breakfast. And he says, you are breakfast. And to tell you the truth, I really had no idea what he was saying. Like, was he planning on killing me and then eating me right after? Or was it just like a phrase that everybody in this era would call everyone else breakfast or something like that? I wasn't really sure, but I said, fine, that works. I'll meet you there. And he looks at me, and he must be able to tell that I had no plan whatsoever of going to the duel, because he tells me he's gonna escort me to the location, and I tell him, all right, let's do it. Then I spit on his other shoe for good measure. So the John Wayne guy leads me and the babysitter up the stairs, and I see Davy Crockett, and I'm like, bro, you just let this guy come in here and challenge me to a duel? And he tells me that someone at the brothel spotted me steal his gun and then steal a horse, and I'm thinking, I thought people during this time period kept their mouths shut. Now, it was at this point of time that I got really pissed at what a bad host Davy Crockett was. I mean, this guy invites us to stay in his basement, and then he allows some dude to come in and hold us up at gunpoint? Terrible host manners. So now the babysitter and I are riding our horses into the sunrise with a gun pointed at our backs, and she asks me, what are we gonna do? And then the cowboy fires off a warning shot in the air and tells us to shut up. And I am just so fed up with the Old West, and I am really happy that everyone in this stupid time is dead by 2010. And I hope that they all suffered terrible deaths, especially Davy. And then I realized that Davy actually did suffer a terrible death at the Alamo, so I felt a little better about everything. So we get back to town, and I'm trying to get the babysitter alone somewhere so we can travel back to the present. But the John Wayne dude starts shouting, duel, duel, y'all come on out and watch me kill this thief. And this whole thing is just so degrading. Like, it's one thing to challenge me to a duel. It's another to call me a thief and humiliate me in front of the entire town. Although, I guess a duel is doing that, right? It's like, not only do you get killed in the duel, but you're also humiliated by losing in front of a bunch of people. So everyone starts to make their way out of the buildings, and that's when I see Davy Crockett ride up, and I shout over to him and I say, hey asshole, thanks for the hospitality. And when I shout it, I say it with a ton of sarcasm. But then I wondered if he knew it was actual sarcasm, or if he believed that I thought he was hospitable. But you know what? I had bigger things to worry about at this moment in time. So then some random guy runs up and says he'll officiate the duel. Like, he's offering to be the referee for this duel, and I'm thinking, like, is this like a favorite pastime for this guy? Like, whenever there's a duel, does he just want to be a part of it? Like, does he go home and tell his wife and kids how he oversaw a successful duel? Anyway, this random guy reads off the rules, like how many steps we take and all this stupid nonsense that I'm not even listening to, and that's when I shout, stop! And everyone looks at me, and I say, before we duel, I'm gonna give my woman a kiss. Now again, I'm sorry that I have to keep calling the babysitter woman, but let it be known that when you travel back in time, you have to play the part. So the John Wayne guy looks at the ref like, is this allowed? As if this random person was now allowed to make up all of the rules. But the ref gives a nod, so I'm like, okay. So I walk over to the babysitter as I enter the time and location for 2010 in my watch, and she gives me a big hug and kiss. And did I confirm? Yes, stop asking me, I confirmed. So, yeah, we disappeared in front of a whole town and traveled back to 2010. So this is definitely one of those times where I got caught, and I gotta say, it might have been my fault. I mean, at least a smidge my fault. But you know what? We evaded the cowboys, and I didn't get shot, and I had sex. So it's a win in my book, you know? Yeah, so that's it. Well, I guess I should tell you a lesson or something that I learned if you travel back to the Old West. I mean, I don't know. If you're gonna steal, make sure you don't get caught. Just don't do everything I did. Anyway, I was feeling pretty tired from the whole Wild West expedition, so I thought, maybe the babysitter and I could take a little sabbatical. But she looks at me, and she tells me she wants to go back in time and do something beneficial for society. So I tell her about the other time traveler, and she takes a look at his notes, and she points to one, and she says she wants to do that. So I look at the note that she's pointing at, and in big writing it says, "Go back to Egypt and free the Jews." So I sigh and I say, "All right." Thanks for listening, and please subscribe and rate the podcast to help me get more of the positive attention I so sorely need. Follow the show on Instagram at Time Traveler's Guide Podcast and me at Anonymous Time Traveler 69. New episodes out Thursday nights at 8.